No taxation without representation. 200 years of exploitation in the capital of this nation. No representation in the capital of this nation. 200 years of exploitation. Give the people their right to vote. Someone asked me, was it true? The voting rights of the district were long overdue.
That was Sweet Hunting in the Rock with Give the People the Right to Vote. Hello and welcome to Shadow Politics, an hour-long grassroots talk show which will attempt to shine a light on the issues that you care about. I'm your host, United States Senator Michael D. Brown, coming to you live from the District of Columbia, America's last colony. I'm joined by my co-host, Maria Sanchez, and together we hope our show will start a dialogue with America about the issues that are important to you and affect the lives of all of us. So feel free to call in and join in the conversation by dialing 888-627-6008. Maria, how are you?
We're doing well, Michael, as well as can be expected. We're starting the heat wave at 109 on Tuesday, so
gotten
down the hatches. Yeah,
109
in Los Angeles.
Yeah, oh my God! Well, my daughter Trisha is and her boyfriend are moving to Los Angeles, so I hope they're listening. 107, guys. Anyway, and they're moving from Chicago, so they're going from the extreme cold to the extreme heat.
Well, you better put us together.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Today we have a very special guest. Her name is Verda Tedeth, and I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, her last name. But anyway, you probably read about Verda or heard about her because she's been on every television. Every time I turn on the television, she's there. But let's get her on the show and she can tell us her story. I think it's really, really amazing. Verda, are you with us?
I am with you. Hello.
Hello. Hi. And thanks so much for being with us. This is my co-host, Maria Sanchez. Verda and I talked a little bit yesterday. But Verda, just so people know who she is a high school graduate. She just graduated from Fitchburg High School. Is that right? In Massachusetts,
yes.
Verda?
And, yes,
and Verda, who is on her way to Harvard, of all places, was given a $40,000 merit scholarship, which she donated. She donated to kids that are going to community college. She asked that the scholarship be given to somebody going to community college. So tell us, first of all, Verda, tell us a little bit about your background.
Please.
Yes, please. Of course. So I was born in the United Kingdom, and then my family actually moved to Ghana, where we were originally from. So I grew up in Ghana with my aunts and my uncles and my family there. And then my mom remarried to my stepdad, Leslie Barnor. And with his help and support, we were all able to move to America. So we are immigrants of America. And we moved to Fitchburg, Massachusetts, where we, you know, grew up. And I learned a lot. And I just recently graduated high school from Fitchburg High School. And it's been such a great experience having, you know, my background from Ghana and Fitchburg and so much support from my family and the community.
Well, that's, we think that the gesture that you made to give this scholarship, to offer this scholarship to somebody, a student that was less fortunate than you, was just amazing. And I think you can tell from the outpouring of support that you've gotten, Verda, that this
right.
is the way everybody feels. I mean, you really did a magnanimous thing. And in a world where we hear lots of bad things about young people, especially that they really don't care, you know, that they tend to be myopic and they really don't have a sense of community or care. You stand in, you know, you provide evidence that that certainly isn't true. So congratulations on doing that. And we should point out that verdict came from a, well, the first thing we should point out, and I want you to explain this to me, is we identified you to begin with as the valedictorian, but you weren't actually the valedictorian. You were elected. You were elected to be the class speaker, and I've got to tell you, I've never ever heard of this. My wife is a valedictorian of her high school. She gave the speech. Valedictorians always give speeches, but at your high school, they really don't give a speech. The students elect a person to give the speech. Did you have to run for that office?
No, I didn't. And I think that, just to touch upon what you said, I think that really shows, it goes to show just how important and how valued student voices are at my school. I think there was a, you could nominate yourself to be the speaker. And then my entire class of maybe just about 300 students voted, and we had a very long voting period so that everyone, you know, had a chance to vote. And I was told that the vote was clearly in my favor to give that speech, which I was very honored that my class would vote for me. So when I wrote the speech, I wanted it to reflect my class and my community, because they had really given me that platform to speak on behalf of the whole class. And that's what I really do hope I did in that speech that I gave.
Well, I've heard the speech, and I think that you did exactly that. Maria, I don't want to monopolize the conversation here. Do you have a question?
Well, I do. And first of all, congratulations, and thank you for paying it forward. It's, you know, when you walk the walk and talk the talk, I think it's even more powerful than just saying something, that you actually are doing something, and especially at your age. And then number two, I was the student speaker when I graduated from college, and they called us the salutatorian. So different systems, and that was the University of California system, I guess, must work differently. But regardless, for you to be the speaker and to use that moment to do what you did, timing, like you had the spotlight and you used it so effectively. But tell me, how long were you in the UK, and how long are you in Ghana, and how long have you been in the United States?
Yeah, so I was only in the UK for maybe a couple months to a year. I was a baby when I was in the UK. And then my parents split up, and my mom and, you know, my sister and I went to Ghana, where we lived with our family for a very long time. We had the support of many aunts and my grandmother and, you know, that family. And we grew up there until I was 8 years old. So that was 2011. And then when my mom married my wonderful stepdad, Leslie Barnor, we all moved to the family as a family to the United States. And we've been here 10 years now, or I've been here, I should say, 10 years now. And I'm 17 now.
Was your dad from the States, your stepdad originally?
Yes, he was. He was a United States citizen, and he'd been living in the States. But he's of Ghanaian origin, so he went back constantly to visit his family and friends. So that's how my parents met, or my stepdad and mom.
What a great story that is.
So you are an American citizen. You're not what we call a dreamer. You're someone who's gotten citizenship because your father is a citizen. I'm correct about that.
I'm actually not currently a citizen. I'll correct you real quickly on that. I immigrated here, and I had a green card, and I am filing for my citizenship currently. So I'm almost there, but not quite. But I should be soon, hopefully.
Well, then you're what many people in my political party, the Democrats, have been fighting over for a couple of years now. I guess the class of people that we call dreamers who came and who are brought as children to the United States. And we want to give them a path to citizenship. And if there's anybody that has any doubt about that, just listen to this young woman. You know, you're a shining example of why we should do this, Verda. Tell me about your mom. I saw a picture. You said that she was your inspiration. And I saw a picture of you and her and your stepdad. And it's obvious that your mom is where you get that beautiful smile from. So tell me about her. Pump her up a little bit. This will put you in good stead to get a big birthday present on your next birthday. Go ahead. What about your mom inspired you to do this?
Oh, so many things about my mom. I mean, first and foremost, her strength and her dedication to get an education. And I think that if you ask her where she gets her strength from, she'll say God. I mean, she is a woman of faith, and she always has been. And she just has always taught us she has four kids, and I'm the second born. She's always taught us just to be loving people and to just listen to the word of God and do what is right. But also, you know, the importance of education. And I think that that comes from part of it being that she grew up in Ghana and it was a wonderful community, but there's also not as much opportunity there as there is in America. So coming to America, it was so trivial, so important for us to, you know, use that opportunity for good. And that's where I get that from. And I was so glad that not only was I able to use that opportunity for good for myself and get into Harvard University, but I was glad to have that opportunity to give back and pay it forward, because that really is all that it's about.
Well, you know, she did a great job, Bob. Mm-hmm. And let me just add, before I turn it over to Maria again, that mm-hmm. I came from an immigrant family. And I told mm-hmm. you, I mean, my grandparents on my mother's side, and I told you, you know, that I dropped out of high school because I was an orphan. My parents died when I was a teenager. And many people have asked me why I got back into school and how I got back into school and how I got a college education. And I've always said, because education was so important in my family. If I had gone to my grandmother and said, I found a way to make $1 million, the first thing she would have said to me is, great, now you can go to college and get an education. You can afford to pay for it. Because that was certainly the most important thing in my family as well. Right. I'm sorry, Maria, go ahead.
No worries. So aside from the obvious that Harvard is probably the most elite desired university in the world, what brought you to Harvard? Why Harvard?
That's a great question, actually. So when I was younger, I actually don't even remember what age I was, but when I was younger, my mom came home one day and was like, we're going to take a trip to Boston. And it was completely spontaneous. But we went to Boston and we were walking around and just seeing the sights. And we ended up in Harvard Square. And we were walking and we realized that, oh my goodness, like, this is Harvard, the Harvard that everyone talks about. And, you know, we took a lovely family photo, and I think that was the beginning of it. I think that was the beginning of me, you know, starting to think that, hey, maybe I actually could, you know, go to the school that isn't too far from where I live from. And, you know, that's where the research began, and just the interest in getting, you know, reaching for the star, reaching for the moon, really, and that's, I think that's where the story begins. But I just think that it's such an incredible school that does so much and gives so much back to the community and the world. And that, I mean, it's just an amazing school. And I'm honored that they accepted me.
Well, interestingly, so I'm in the process of my PhD. And in the fall, it was October of 2019, I had an opportunity to attend a conference at Harvard. And wow. I went, and it was the first time I had ever been. I'd been to Boston, but not to Harvard, and had been on the campus. And I was literally in a, you know, a classroom, really, and mm-hmm. taking this class. And I couldn't help but have this pinch me, like, I'm literally here. I'm here on these hallowed grounds that you hear about. And that, right. like our guest last week, Kathleen Kennedy Townsend, she was a graduate from Harvard University. I mean, it's rare air that you're in. And for me to just take a class in a conference there, and you're actually going to get your degree from there, oh my goodness, so exciting. And what are you going to study?
I want to go into the medical field after college. So I think I'm going to go I major in chemistry and, you know, with a pre-med track. So I definitely am keeping my options open, though. But like you said, it's such an incredible school there's so many things going on there, so much research that I definitely want to take opportunity of all that there is and keep my options open.
And I started as a biochemistry major my freshman year, too, because I wanted to get into medicine. And then I learned about other things in life, and I switched gears and changed majors and stuff. So I'm living vicariously through you.
Wow. Now you understand why I invited you on the show, Verda. I have a thing for smart girls.
Smart women.
Yeah, smart women.
I've married
the Victorian, and I've got Maria, who is constantly saving me on this show. Let me just add one more detail about your mom that you might want to talk about, and that is that, you know, really what we're astounded by all your ability, how smart you are and how articulate you are at such a young age, but mostly we're inspired by your big heart. And I understand your mom provides care for people with disabilities. Is that?
Yes, that is true.
Is that an inspiration for you?
That is an inspiration to me. And I think that not only does she provide care, but she provides quality care. I think that, you know, she's been in this field for a very long time, and never once has she, you know, looked down upon anyone or degraded anyone. She's always seen them as human, as equals, and really put her best foot forward every time she leaves this house to go to work. And I think that's such an inspiration that she can look to anyone and see the human in them and see and respect them and give them that respect. And that, you know, that definitely is something that I've learned and translate onto all humans, right? Whether they're other immigrants, they are any, you know, people of any color, of any race, of any gender, sexuality. It's just the idea of having respect for other human beings. And that's something I definitely learned from her.
Well, that's a great quality to have. And let me ask you to do me a favor while you're at Harvard. Take a class in political science, because you've already won an election. And, you know, and politics could use brilliant people like you with that get it, that have a big heart and do understand that. But Maria, go ahead. You got a question? Oh, did we lose Maria?
Bird, can you tell us about your high school? What is your high school like?
Oh, absolutely. And I'm saying this, but I do not brag about myself, but I will always brag about the people around me. I genuinely think I go to the best high school in America. You'll never hear me bragging about myself, but I think that I will take this one time to definitely brag about my school. There's just such a great community of people who, you know, of students who are ready to learn, but also of teachers and faculty members, administrators who are, you know, come in every day and are willing to help people learn and you know, get through the challenges that go on beyond the school day. So I think that's something that's so commendable about the people of my school. And it's the heart of the city, really. And if you think I'm slightly amazing, you should just wait to see the other graduates of Fitchburg High School, because like I said in my speech, I cannot wait till the day where I'm watching the news and I'm like, wow, I went to high school with them and they're on the news. They're incredible. I'm so lucky to have gone to that school and to be around the people that I was. It really is, you know, an incredible school.
Was it private?
Sorry, what was that?
Is it a private school?
No, it's actually a public school. It's a public school, and an amazing public school at that.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, you know, let me just say this again, Verda, because this is the most important thing to leadership, in my opinion. Leaders really don't create change as much as they inspire people around them to create change. And you obviously understand that. A good leader talks about the people around them. A good leader promotes the people around them. And your principal, Mr. Roach, said that when you made your magnanimous gesture, he was not the least bit surprised because that's who you are. Wow. He said, that's who you are. So tell us, were you, you know, did you run for student council? Were you, you know, did you do those things? What did you do in high school? Did you, besides become a great student?
Before I say this, I will say that, and this will explain what I'm about to say next. I will say that I think my life goal, you know, my aspiration is really just to make my community, you know, my world a better place. And so I did start high school off. I ran for class president, and I didn't win. And instead of being like, oh, you know, just, that's just not it for me, I realized that, you know, I should take the time and learn more about being a leader. And, you know, so that if I ever am in such a position, I do actually know how to handle it properly and handle myself properly. So I explored a number of other clubs and other, you know, opportunities. I was a member of the math club. Actually, we kind of started a math club. There wasn't one, and I became the president of that at our school. And also, I created what we called the Student Ambassador Program. And I say created, but really, it was something that was a joint effort with students, administrators, I mean, faculty, that really came together. And we kind of saw that, you know, our school is such a diverse place. We have people from all over the country, you know, surrounding cities, of course, but also all over the country and all over the world. And we wanted it to be an inclusive school, a school where you would come and you would feel welcome. But, you know, we had this idea, but there wasn't structures in place to make that a reality. So we created the Student Ambassador Program, got funding for it, $700. And the program's goal was to, you know, when students came in, we would partner them up with a student who was already in the school. And that student would welcome them, show them around, let them know about, you know, the opportunities we had at the school, the clubs, the you know, programs, all these things, so that they could be successful in their journey in high school. Because it's certainly a difficult thing to be a new student, but how much more a new student coming from Texas to Massachusetts, or a new student coming from Ghana to Massachusetts, a whole different country. So I became kind of the founder and the program of that with the help of so many people in the school and the community. And so in that sense, I was a leader, but I wasn't your traditional leader, you know, who was in the student council or ran for a student president. That was somebody else. I kind of did other things.
Well, you won the big election in the end. And before we go any further, I'm obligated to say this because Mrs. Brown is a high school librarian. And guess what Verda is, Maria?
What?
An avid reader.
Uh-huh.
So Mrs. Brown, she would say, there, that goes to show you that you can do anything in life if you're an avid reader. So I point that out. I point that out for Mrs. Brown. But you talk a lot in your speech, you mentioned in your speech about the richness of diversity and how much potential there is at your school. You know, when we see a country that's so divided and people are you know, I mean, people are talking about sameness and putting up walls and, you know, closing off opportunities. How is it that you see the richness and diversity, which I've got to tell you, I think is what makes America great.
Right. I'll start off by saying that in my speech, I mentioned a line where, you know, I give this advice to my class, you know, remember who you are and remember where you came from. And I think that on the topic of diversity in America, we need to remember, and I say we, as America as a whole, needs to remember who it is and remember where it came from. It was a country that was largely founded by immigrants, you know, built by immigrants and made wonderful by immigrants. And I think that that's something that's worth remembering when we think about America. and to keep embracing that, because when we talk, I mean, that's really what makes America such a great place to be. You get all these ideas, all these, I mean, in our school, my school, Fitchburg High, is really a small version of that, and you see the amazing potential that comes out of that because of that diversity. So on a larger scale, when you have, you know, all these 50 states and territories, you get this diversity, and there's so much that comes, you know, potential that comes out of it because of the difference of ideas and the difference of cultures and lifestyles. And I think that we can use that to our advantage, and we as an America as a whole can use that to advantage, learn from each other, respect each other. It's not something that tears us apart. It's not a weakness that America has that we are so different from each other. It's something that really can build us as a nation, and something to be in awe of.
I'm not sure how you got so brilliant in just 17 years. Maria, go ahead.
Yes. Can you give our listeners, especially if they have children that are, let's say, preteen or teens, the inspiration to do what it is that you've done? Because a lot of people, like when I was growing up, my parents speak English as their second language. They said, we can't afford a private education for you. You can only go to either the Cal State system or the University of California system, because they didn't know about student loans or grants, or they didn't know any of that. And so that's what we all did. But if somebody who doesn't know that and knows what you know now, what could you share with them about helping their families exceed maybe their station in life, or grasp at some excellence that you've done for yourself?
Yeah, thank you for that question. I think that when talking about, you know, getting to a level of excellence, it's not, you know, about the richness of your, you know, your school system. It's not whether you went to a public or private school. It's not whether your schools had the best textbooks or you know, the best teachers, or you can do it regardless. And I was so fortunate to be in such an amazing school. But anyone can do it. And I mentioned that the speech, it doesn't matter where you came from, whether you are a dreamer, an immigrant, naturalized, born here. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's something that comes from the inside. It's not for the teens out there and the preteens out there. It's not something your parents can make you do. It's really something that you have to, you know, sit down and think, you know, I do want to make a better life for myself. I do want to, you know, help people. I do want to do good in this world. And that desire comes from inside. And when you think that way, it's only natural that your actions will, you know, follow in that same, you know, mindset and align with your thoughts.
You make it sound easier than it is. Because you put a lot of hard work into doing what you did.
Oh, thank you.
You're very humble.
Well, you know, yeah, and that's really what makes your gesture even that much more significant, is you are very humble. And, you know, I told you at the start that I graduated from a community college, and as a high school dropout, only a community college would accept me. I had no other opportunities. I was also on my own because I was an orphan, so it cost me $20 an hour to go to my community college. And again, it's the only opportunity that was available to me. But that two-year degree led to a four-year degree, which led to a master's degree. So, you know, and I also told you that my brother was president of a community college and their slogan was, it's not where you start, but where you finish that counts. Mm-hmm. So tell me why you picked a community college. Why did you pick to ask that this scholarship be given to kids going to community colleges?
Yeah, that decision was, I mean, I think honestly, to honor my mother. When we came to America, she went to community college so that she could better, you know, further her education and get a better future for herself and her family, her husband and her kids. So she made that decision, and our local community college, Mount Wachusett Community College, was there for her, you know, supported her and provided her with, you know, a path to get that education she wanted. So, you know, just like you, it was at first the associate's degree, the two-year degree, But then that kind of paved the way for her to now, she's actually currently getting her bachelor's at Liberty University online. So absolutely. And I think that this just speaks to the importance of community college. And I know this, my mom was saying, like, you're talking about community college and you're going to Harvard University. And I was like, yeah, I know, but it is so important to acknowledge, you know, the schools that are building our people up. They're so important in communities because so many different types of people go to that school and they provide opportunities for all different types of people, right? Like, it could be my mom who started, you know, community college at 39 years old. It could be someone my age, but someone who needed that extra help before jumping into the four-year degree. I mean, there's just a wealth of people who go to community colleges, and I'm so grateful that they are, you know, a thing that is there, a support to help people get an education. Because like Nelson Mandela said, education is the most important thing that we can use to change our world.
Do you know how the money's going to be distributed?
Yes. Yep. So my principal, first of all, reached out to me right after the graduation ceremony and said, I'm so proud of you. What you did was so selfless. And I cannot wait, you know, to hear what you want the money to be done. So I was so grateful that, you know, the school was already behind me in my decision and was, you know, willing to accommodate what I was going to say. So we met up, we had a meeting, and he let me know that the foundation that supplies the money was also on board with me not being the recipient of the scholarship money, and that they would also allow the money to be distributed to other students. So what we did decide in the meeting was that the scholarship is a $40,000 scholarship in total, and it is distributed $10,000 a year for a total of 4 years. So this year, two students will get $5,000 each, so that will be the $10,000 for this year. Next year, two students will also get $5,000 each, making a total of $10,000, and this will happen for, you know, two more years after that, so a total of 4 years. Two students will get $5,000 each.
And who chooses those students?
I thought it would be best if teachers and administrators, so people who go, you know, who are leaders in our school, picked the students, because I am just a student. I don't know every one in the school, and I couldn't possibly. But teachers, administrators, they have had the chance to see the students in the learning environment, see their character for 4 years. So they really would be the best judge of that. And of course, there'll be an application for students to apply and you know, share why they believe that they feel they need the scholarship or the best recipient for it, as, you know, scholarships go.
Nice.
Yeah, and there's, I read also that you want to start an ongoing scholarship fund for immigrant students. Talk about that. What's your vision for that?
Yeah. So when these couple years, as I, you know, was the leader of the student ambassador program, I learned, and I got, as an immigrant myself too, I kind of learned and was surrounded by the fact that there are a lot of challenges being an immigrant, and even seeing my mom too as an immigrant who tried to go to college. I mean, there's just a number of challenges, and it would just be so helpful to have that extra financial support when you're going to college. It makes the world of a difference. And I think that I've been giving a special platform an amazing opportunity to make a difference. And which I kind of mentioned earlier is really just all that I want to do is help someone else, even if it's just one singular person. Because watching my mom and going through it myself and my older sister and just all the people around me try to get an education, there is a struggle when you are, you know, not from the country. So just getting that extra financial support would make the world of a difference to someone, and I would be honored to be able to provide that.
Well, I think, again, you're right. I have to say, when I started community college, even though I had no academic scholarships, I did get a scholarship because a local women's club put together a scholarship fund for orphans. And so wow. I was orphaned and on my own. So I got a small scholarship, which in those days it was $1,000 a year, believe it or not. And but that was a big deal. That paid for my tuition and all my books in those days. You know, so that's I think that's an amazing idea. And let me commit while I'm on the radio here that if you form such a scholarship fund, I will be one of the first people to contribute to it.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you
because
so
that,
much.
That would be an amazing thing. You're going to be 18 soon, Verda. You're going to register. You're going to register to vote, I assume.
Absolutely.
What issues are important to you? What issues, beyond building your community, are there any national issues that you see that are important to you? If I came to Massachusetts and ran for the Senate in Massachusetts, what would I have to say to you to convince you to vote for me?
I think there are two big issues that are very dear to my heart, and they are immigration and then education. I think that education really should be accessible to all. And I will clarify that I know we've been talking a lot about college education, but it's also just as respectable to have an education in a vocation, you know what I mean? Something like a trade, you know, a technician, a carpenter, it's so respectable. But it is, I think that the foundation of democracy is really having an educated public. So having equity in education and accessible education is very important to me. And I think the second one that's very dear to my heart is immigration. As an immigrant myself and in a family of immigrants, I think that having compassion for people who are trying to enter the country, because, you know, living in Ghana and seeing, you know, real third world poverty, it really changes your perspective on things. It's hard for me to, you know, rationalize that America as an immigrant of nations would then turn its back and say that we no longer want immigrants. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But then also, you know, helping the immigrants who are here, because I hope I am an example that immigrants do really make a wonderful, you know, addition to communities, and they make up communities, and they're not someone to be invited to the table. They really are part of the American table.
Well, I think you're a shining example. And Thomas Jefferson shared your opinion about how important education is to a democracy. Maria?
Can you tell us what life is like in Ghana for when and what it's like today with the family that remains there?
Yeah, I actually don't know that I would be the best person to describe what life is like today, because I haven't been in the country for 10 years, but I definitely can speak a little bit about that from, you know, what I've learned from my mother, my father, my cousin, and just my experience living there for, you know, 8 years up to 2011. And I can speak on my personal experience in Ghana.
Sure.
I remember that. Well, one thing is that education isn't as, you know, accessible as it is in America. Public schools are not the best. And then if you want your child to get an education, a private school is probably the best option, but it's also kind of expensive. So my mom, you know, she always paid for a private school for us because she definitely wanted us to get a good education and have a good foundation for life as adults. But even then, I remember we'd have to kind of walk to school, and I say that now, but I'm still grateful for the education that I got, even though I had to walk to school. But one thing I do love about Ghana is the community, the sense of community and family that you have in the country. I remember that we'd always go over to my grandma and my aunt's house, and there was always food and laughter and dancing, and just it was an amazing time. We were a great family, and we still are. But it really was. It's a great country with amazing people.
And they speak English in Ghana, I understand. It's interesting because I don't know the history of it, or like who founded it or settled it or what have you.
Right. There are so many different languages that are spoken in Ghana, but by all the different tribes. But English is a language that I think is spoken commonly among the people.
And I guess that might explain why your mom went to the UK, because Britain, I believe, was the one that had control over it and then abdicated that. So they might have a relationship still because of that. From Ghana to the UK and back?
To my understanding, my mom went to the UK. She was married to my biological father at the time, and he was going to university in the UK. So our family at the time moved to the UK. After their divorce, she went back to Ghana to be with her family. And I think that, you know, that story, I would just add that it's so important for women to get an education. I know that at the time she kind of sacrificed her life in Ghana and kind of put a halt on her education so that her husband at the time could get education. But I think that, you know, we've progressed a lot as a world in thinking about the importance of women and getting education as women. But it's just so important to highlight that, you know, every woman should have an education. It really is important.
Well, I certainly agree with you, and again, I applaud you giving the money to community college, kids going to community college, because that can really change people's lives. My humble opinion is that every child in America should get a free, at least a free education to community college. Their first 2 years should be free. We're a country with that's one of the richest countries in the world. And I think we can do that, just making an extension of, instead of 12 years of education, you get 14 years of education. And there should be a lot of technical education involved in that. You know, in my brother's community college, for example, they had all sorts of technical programs for people, everything from a culinary program to programs in mechanical engineering.
Exactly.
And stuff.
Yeah. And wood shop and
you're right. Exactly.
I definitely share with you that idea that it's so important that technical education be expanded. I mean, it's great to get, you know, an academic college education, but just as important, we need those people who are so skilled in, you know, culinary arts or plumbing or carpentry. I mean, they are the backbone of America, and you know, those programs being expanded and funded would be an incredible investment to America and America's economy.
Well, when I come up there to run your gubernatorial campaign, we can make that a central issue of your platform. Go ahead, Maria.
Tell us about your younger siblings, too. Now, you have a sister older than you, and then you have two siblings younger than you. Yes. What are they doing?
So, first of all, I love my family. They are quite literally the most amazing people in the world. I'll just throw that out there. I have an older sister who's just amazing, a younger sister, and then one little brother who's dancing around me right now.
Oh, for him.
Very,
and how old is he?
Very athletic. He is 9 years old.
Okay.
10. My apologies, 10. He just corrected me. Very athletic, and I can't. He's also very smart. I mean, he's 10, and he like learns things with me. He's so interested in history and chemistry and physics, like everything I learned, like he's learning right by me.
Wow.
So smart. Yeah. And my little sister, she has a mind of her own. She's an artist in her own right. I mean, a musician in her right. I cannot wait to, I said this a little before, I cannot wait to see where each one of my siblings go, because I think right now I'm kind of in the spotlight, but honestly, they are each amazing in their own right. And one day they will all be in the spotlight, and I'll just be like, yep, I knew it. I called it. Yeah. I knew it.
That's sweet.
Well, and you're an inspiration.
Yeah, right. For sure. And your older sister?
My older sister, she's actually currently in community college, and she, I think she's has a more business, you know, mind, and I can't wait to see where she goes with that. She's just a very innovative and creative person, and I won't speak for her, you know, specific aspirations. I think that's, you know, more for her to say, but she's a very hardworking person. I think that she gets that from my mom too. I mean, I might have mentioned that my mom, you know, works two jobs, 80 plus hours. I can't even tell if my sister's working two or three jobs right now. Definitely one of the two. But, I mean, there have been weeks where she has literally worked 100 hours a week, just trying to make a living for herself and her, you know, our family. So, I mean, every single, and I'll even add my stepfather. I'll definitely add my stepfather. He's an amazing person, and I thank him all the time because he's, I think, the reason that we're in America, really. And he was a backbone for our family and supported us and encouraged us so much, just as my mom has. And there's just, I mean, he does everything. It's not very traditional for men to cook, but he always cooking for us, right? Taking us where we need to go, appointments and stuff like that. Because my mom, you know, whenever my mom can, when she's working so much. But I think that we really do have a great family dynamic here where everyone is just going all out, doing all that they can to contribute, to help every single other person that they can in our family. And I am so very grateful, eternally grateful for my family. God gave me a wonderful family.
Wow.
And I am honored to be part of this family.
And you're making
that's so beautiful.
It really is. And, you know, I think you're such an important voice, Verta, because I believe, as you know, even though I was born here, the trouble that I had early in life, I don't believe there's any other country in the world where I could have succeeded the way I have succeeded. And I think it's you have an important voice because I hear you saying the same thing, that America's a great place, that its strength it lies in its diversity, and its greatness lies in the opportunity that it gives to people. And I think that's such an important message, especially coming from someone young and coming from someone who came from somewhere else to begin with. Maria?
I just want you to know how impressed I am as a mother myself to hear the gratitude that you feel about your family, because usually people don't like 30 or so, because you've gone out on your own. You might have started to have a family of your own, and you go, wow, little did I know the sacrifices that they made to make my life better or what it is today. So you really should compliment yourself on that. What that wisdom that you have is way ahead of your years. And to hear you speak so glowingly about your mom, as a mom too, it's like, do they notice? Do the kids, you know, you never do anything you don't give to get when you're a parent. But now I'm getting the accolades later in life, and my kids weren't 17 when they were doing that. They were still navel gazing and stuff. So it's really just humbling to hear you speak so eloquently, not only about your family, but also about the educators and the school that you came from, and that you acknowledge that you are who you are. It takes a village, and you know, your family in Ghana too, et cetera, et cetera. So congratulations. It's just been a pure pleasure to have this conversation with you.
Yeah, and I would add that Maria and I have spoken about this issue many times with young people in America, that there seems to be more of a sense of entitlement than people like Maria and I grew up in. You know, we really grew up, we had Robert Kennedy's oldest daughter on the show last week, and we really did grow up with the kind of John F. Kennedy sentiment of don't ask what America can do for you, ask what you can, do for America.
Yeah.
Right. And we don't see that as much anymore, but we certainly see it in you, young lady.
Yeah. The other adage is that my children's high school had is to whom much is given, much is expected. And John Kennedy is attributed to that too, even though it's also in the Bible, but
yeah, Luke.
It is, you know, like you said, not only are you doing something that is, you didn't say this, but we are, that is generous, but you are paying it forward. You are going to be changing lives, and significantly so, and at the community college level, which is about everybody. So this is going to have a ripple effect. It's not just that student's life. It's who they know and their friends and their family and their classmates and what they do with that education that you provided for them.
Berta, we're running out of time here. So let me ask you, is there something that you want to say that we haven't asked you? Is there anything that you want to add? We only have a few minutes left.
I do think that we have covered everything, but I will just emphasize one last time how I think that, you know, I've been getting so many praise, but it really is, and I can't stress enough, how much, you know, what I did and who I am is really a product and you know, a representation of how great my community, my family, and, you know, my growing up in Ghana and just my Christian faith is. You know, I thank so many people for pouring into me so that I could be the person who I am today. And that's really just that.
Well, you know, I will also tell you that Maria and I often talk about our faith, too, and how we're, you know, a little disheartened at times that it's not more at the center of many people's lives as it used to be. And so we commend you for that as well. You know, I started in politics by working for Jimmy Carter, and it always used to bother me that the opposition party would often say that the Democrats had lost their faith, because I worked for this man of great faith who is now 96 years old and still building houses for poor people and teaching Sunday school. So it's nice to see a young woman who's motivated to help the world and is motivated by her faith. Well, that's it for us, Berta. We're going to let you go, but I want you to know that you have a standing invitation to come back once a year for the next 4 years and tell us more about your amazing life. We would love to follow your progression to what undoubtedly will be greatness someday. So thank you so much. Thank you for your magnanimous gesture. Thanks for being on our show. Every week when we close with a song, and we usually dedicate it to our guest. And today's song is by Miley Cyrus, and it's a song about how it's not important where you end, as important where you end up or what you accomplish as how you get to your destination. It's really all about the effort. This is something that Berta already obviously knows. So we leave you with "The Climb" by Miley Cyrus. And thank you again, Berta.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate having me today.
Okay.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you again soon, I hope.
Mm-hmm.